You are listening to Type Radio. My name is Natalie Falaha. Now we're talking.
I also wanted to talk about the World Press photo, the picture.
Oh, that's a joke. Did you hear the story about that?
Well, tell me.
Okay, that's a real joke. This photo was published. We all saw it. Oh, okay, whoa. This is Beirut. Seeing girls in tight t-shirts, sunglasses, in a cabriolet car in the middle of rubble. Okay, then 2 days later, my friend who's a curator and, quite in touch with the artistic scene in Lebanon, tells me that, did you know what, the guy who's driving the car is the boyfriend of a friend of hers, and he found his photo, in the World Press Award, and basically he borrowed his girlfriend's car. He took along his sisters to check out if this was to check out on their house that was bashed by the Israeli bombs. So technically, it wasn't at all this bimbo versus
going
Hezbollah.
Sightseeing.
At all. Mm-hmm. And it's a big thing. It's quite shocking in a way that international jurors didn't investigate, or I don't know if do you investigate in such cases? I don't know. Maybe not. But
well, I read about the story you're telling. I read it in the paper in Holland about this.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine, a Belgian guy Gert, I can't remember his family name, who wrote about this because he voiced the story out basically to international media. He is a reporter himself, but it's really shocking that
when it's taken out of context, you can't. If you saw the. If you don't know the story and see
exactly.
The photograph,
you have to know. You have to know. If you don't, before knowing, I was discussing it with my parents and my brother, and we're like, yeah, whatever. Unfortunately, this is how media perceives us. Yeah. And then.
But are you insulted by it? If like Lebanon or the Lebanese people are like portrayed like that put an image like that?
Personally, I'm not, because I don't relate to this. If you want. I think I'm neither in this group or this other one. Somehow I'm a bit remote. My profession, what I do, where everything is more remote from either the Lebanese bimbos or the people who had this summer their houses bombed. Yeah. Which belong to a certain which have a certain political affiliation that I don't belong to. But then again, I don't feel insulted, but I do realize that unfortunately this can be Beirut.
Yeah.
It could have been real, very much real.
Yeah.
It just happens that the real story behind this photo is what I
so
just
the
said.
So the fact that it could have been real, then it could have been another. It's equally valid.
No, but had the story been different, it wouldn't have shocked me, because this is part of our, I wouldn't say our culture, but unfortunately our vécu, the vécu is what we live, what we go through. Mm. The same night this summer, I know for a fact that I wasn't there, but all Beirut nightclubs opened in the mountains where people fled away from the bombs. And you had all the nightclubs opening up in different places, and people kept going. And I used to receive photos from friends of mine, and they would, hey, look at us, we're in this nightclub. And we were stuck in South America, didn't know how to keep going, with what money to come back, with what airplane, with what. It's really sad. When the people are dying, businesses are closing down, people leaving the country, and what have you, physical threat of bombs and death, and then life goes on the other side. But
maybe that's a sort of way of continuation.
Keep going,
and dealing with it.
And adapting to new constraints. My nightclub can't be accessed in Beirut. Take my employees, throw in a couple of paintbrushes on walls, invade a space, use a space that was left dying for I don't know how many years, and then just make money. I mean, I can't look at, I mean, it's sad, but at the same time, it kept people with jobs. The industry, the whole touristic industry, I mean, in food and beverage and restaurants, hotels, all that, they're all dead. I mean, really, really bad. So for me, it was a good way to keep some people, some, I mean, employees with a job and a pay and their family. I mean, you can't, again, it's adapting that has, I would say, an adaptation process that has two sides, a good one and a bad one. I mean, ethically, even ethically, it's good and bad. Because ethically, you're keeping families with a pay, with food and all that, but you're not really standing by your, I mean, your beliefs, your beliefs, your fellow Lebanese citizens and all that. Mm-hmm. So, it's not the easiest thing to deal with, I can say.
And so how were you interested in design in the first place? I mean, are you the black sheep in the family, or?
Totally by mistake. Just like, I mean, I heard about this new program that had opened, I mean, that had started, and I come from a math background. I mean, I did a Matelem baccalaureate, and I had applied to engineering, to business, and to architecture, not to graphic design. And I had gone through the tests needed to get into architecture and graphic design and architecture, that were the same tests. And I had gotten my OKs and everything, and then I decided, no, I feel like shifting. I mean, I've done enough, I need to move from the precision of things. And decided to shift just like that by real chance, I mean, without knowing, it's pure intuition. And I stayed. That's the story.
Is there anybody else in your family?
No, not really. No, they're all either in business or doctors, mostly business or in medicine.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Type radio.